Blog Talk Radio. Hello, welcome to the Blog Talk Cafe, the Transformation Cafe. This is Kathy Elliott, and we are going to have a great show tonight. We're waiting for our other callers to call in, and we're waiting for Robin Mishevitz and Gloria Haswell and Jamie, and as soon as they call in, we'll get started. Oh, there's Robin. Hi, Robin.
Good evening. Good evening. Oh, good evening.
Good evening. Here comes Gloria. Hi, Gloria.
Hi there. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and Transformation Cafe, where we're going to sit down, chow down, and enjoy ourselves a satisfying meal that enriches our soul and leaves us with takeaways.
Well, there you go.
Jamie has just arrived. Oh, there we go.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Jamie up in Seattle.
Hi, Jamie. How are you today?
Good. I'm just made it in.
Okay.
Found parking.
We're all okay. There you go. Well, you know, that's what happens sometimes when we do that whole valet thing.
Right.
We're all in at the same time.
I have quite a commute.
We had to wait for our table.
Yes, you do have quite the commute, and we appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
That's what they call it, airtime.
Yes, exactly. The Transformation Cafe, and we're definitely hungry because we had to wait to get our table tonight. So there you go. We've got some interesting things we're going to be talking tonight. The first thing up, actually, I wanted to go ahead and have everybody introduce themselves. So, Kathy, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Kathy Elliott, and I'm here to spread fun and joy throughout the world. And
okay.
I'm doing that with jingles.
And she's also going to be in taking care of our switchboard tonight, so we thank her gratefully for that. And Ms. Gloria, will you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Gloria, and I am a mom. I am a mother opposing mediocrity, and I stand up for children.
Oh, my goodness, there she is.
Woohoo!
Okay. And Mr. Jamie, would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I'm Jamie Trujillo. I own a tattoo shop up in Seattle, and I call in and fill my two cents in once in a while.
He is one of our media guys. He helps to keep us on track to know exactly what they're saying out in the press world. And he's also a very creative and wonderful artist. So we thank him for his constant contributions. And I am Robin Mishevitz, a florist by day, spiritual seeker by night, and teach about flower wisdom and getting connected to the earth and in all kinds of wondrous ways. And we are the Transformation Cafe. We'd like to go ahead and invite you to go ahead and call in. Our contact number is going to be 646-727-3206. And if you'd like to get into the blog and start talking to Kathy, she'll see you talking to us at blogtalkradio.com. And it's /Transformation Cafe. So we're going to go ahead and start with our appetizer tonight. And I was looking on the web this morning and actually saw a really wonderful story called The Glad Game. And it's actually an advertisement that they had for some just real positive motivational stuff. And what actually was talking about was it was a story about a little girl who came home and she was complaining about the world and all the things that had happened to her during the day. And her mom just said, you know what, let's play the glad game. And really it was just all of a sudden just looking at all the things that we can be grateful for, looking at things that we can be glad about in our lives. And you guys mind if we play like once? Just take one thing and say that what you're glad about it. I am glad that we're all here, that we were able to get our cars parked and we were able to get our table. And grateful that you guys are here. So I'm very glad about that. Who wants to go next?
I'm glad we're safe and sane. How about that?
Okay.
I just jumped in there again.
We're all glad. We're so glad we're all going to talk at the same time. That's cool. Okay.
I'm glad you're glad.
Okay. And I'm glad you're glad that I'm glad. Okay.
Well, I'm glad that's fine. We're all glad.
We could do this for the whole show. I don't think everybody would hang up and say, okay, that's enough of that. There you go. Ms. Gloria.
Well, I'm glad that I have an opinion.
There you go. And you
Ooh,
do, and we
one.
Love your opinion. There you go. And Miss Kathy.
I am glad it's spring.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm glad that my first rose.
Yes. Yeah, actually, Kathy, I got to see her beautiful first rose from her garden this year, and it is just an enjoyable thing, very magnificent. So there you go. So thank you all for being participants in the GLAD game. I'm very glad for that. Mr. Jamie, we had asked him to give us a little update on an ice. Up in Iceland, there was actually a volcanic eruption over the weekend. We asked him to kind of give us an update on that.
Oh, boy. Well, here I go. Let me see. Yes, you might have seen something in the news with a very spectacular photo of a volcanic eruption in an ice field. It looks rather
Hello?
It's in Iceland.
Oh, there you are. He was searching for the biggest adjective we could possibly find. How about that? Here we go.
Right.
I thought my air cleaner was on.
Like, silence just says it all, man. It's so big we can't even give words to it. It's just like a moment of silence for the honoring of the volcanic eruption here.
In any event, it looks rather the scale is a little hard to see, but it's actually the eruption is a half mile long. Fissure. And it's spewing ash and lava, roughly 30 stories in huge fountains. It's occurring on a glacier, which is in Iceland. Iceland, of course, is to the north, and it's a volcanic island. It's south of the Arctic Circle, and it's on top of two tectonic plates. It's called the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. The plates being in constant motion against each other.
Haven't had the eruptions for like 200 years?
Well, the eruptions come every 5 years, actually.
Oh,
but,
okay.
The one that this one hasn't erupted in 200 years. It's on an ice field, which is the Eyjafjallajökull. Now, try pronouncing that a couple times.
No, that's okay. You did a marvelous job, and we're just going to say that's how it is.
Well, anyway, the activity itself started early Sunday, March the 21st.
Uh-huh.
The thing about this is it's on a glacier, and generally when this particular volcano erupts, it always triggers a neighboring volcano, which is on a larger glacier, and that's Mount Katla. And of the three previous eruptions, that has also triggered this neighboring volcano to erupt, which is on a equally as large glacier. And the difference being the current eruption is above the glacier. If it does trigger this nearby volcano, it's under the glacier. So that very disastrous flooding, and they have evacuated the people that are in that area. But, again, it just goes to show you how powerful Mother Nature and her infinite and internal being is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are they kind of speculating how long they think this eruption is going to last, or it's just like, you know, your guess as good as anybody else's, I guess?
I have gotten most of my stuff from the Internet in the last 2 days. This morning, there was a short thing in the Seattle Times about the activity actually increasing. They had some small tremors as well. That kind of points to the eruption of the nearby other Mount Katla volcano. But that's about all I know as far as today goes, and I haven't heard anything else. Generally, these things also put a lot of ash in the air, so they don't really like people flying around in that area, especially large liners. So it's very detrimental to that as well. And any type of thing that could be very disastrous. Most of Iceland, of course, is a volcanic island. It's got Arctic fields and deserts, and most of the agriculture and civilization, it's on the lowlands near the coast. So it's not like there's its major population, but it's not very good for the environment, I imagine, as well.
Well, it kind of goes, I don't know if it's just thinking of, you know, back in the dinosaurs and stuff, and they had all the eruptions and the amount of ash and stuff that basically covered the atmosphere on such a level. But, you know, we're not going to go to that extreme. You know how that goes.
Well, it's not that extreme, but I'm sure they monitor it, and it's not the best thing for your, you know, breathing, much less jet engines or such. But, again, it's just, there you go, it's the ring of fire and the plates, and it's a little chiropractic adjustment from the earth, of course, you know.
Yep, exactly, you know. So it's just one more way of releasing the tension and the pressure. So there you go.
It's also a way for the people that are needing to live in that area to actually begin to become more aware of the earth and what's going on. Because I moved out to Oregon shortly after the eruption that they had up there. And it was really interesting in the community how people were wearing masks and having to, you know, constantly, they were utilizing water to, you know, hose all the ash off, and it was just a constant thing where you'd get rid of it. It was worse than dust because it was so thick, and it would just affect your health so much. And people had to become aware of their environment.
Well, I can remember when Mount Shasta went off. I mean, within just, what, 3 or 4 days, we started seeing, you know, the ash and stuff coming over here in California. So it was definitely like, we're all like, wow, it's so far away, but yet not so far away, you know. When it comes to things like that, you know, we're definitely seeing that when you get up in the morning, you'd have, you know, a thin layer of ash on your car. So we were experiencing it, in, you know, that much of a distance away. So, yeah, it's definitely something that's making us very mindful of, you know, loving and taking care of the planet and recognizing its power. Just like Jamie was saying, you know, it's almost like we're.
I think we also had an anniversary. I mean, you could say it that way, of the Mount St. Helens blast that occurred up here. Last week, I believe.
What happened?
Really?
That was in
1980. I have ash in my house right now from there.
I remember my roommate at the time, they had a, he was doing a logo for some company that was marketing the little bottles of ash.
Oh, wow. Yes.
But I don't know.
That's right. I paid $398 for mine. No,
oh, man.
Wow.
So made up, they would take up figurines.
I
think they would make up figurines and sell them. They'd make up all sorts of novelty products and such.
Right. Yeah,
out of
they
that
making
kind of
bookends
stuff.
And all kinds of stuff out of it?
Exactly, right.
Yeah, ashtrays out of ash. Can you imagine that? Didn't they make jewelry? They were making rings and stuff out of it too, weren't they? I think they were making it pressurized and making it into stones and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, they were.
See, you missed out, man. You could have had this big, like, you know, stone or some kind of a gem out of the ash. There you go.
We should be creating some companies that go through and harvest all this ash from all of these places.
Well, you know, let's get into Avatar, and we'll just, like, go and take advantage of some kind of geological condition. Here we go. Okay, there we go. No, it echoes. Wow. Somebody's going to make a buck, like, the Iceland ash. There you go. There you go. Okay,
anyway, that's,
wow,
that's
that
about,
was very
that's
informative.
That's from this corner. So, like I said, that's just a little glimpse into it. Now, I got most of my stuff off the internet, and
when was
the when New
was
York Times.
When was St. Helens?
Excuse me?
When was St. Helens?
1980.
But when was it? Do you know that?
I believe like the 18th
of March.
Where is somewhere in March? Yes.
Wow, isn't that interesting?
But being almost, you know, 30 years, so that's kind of an anniversary. And that actually was one of the largest eruptions present day.
Yeah. Yeah, with all the pictures and stuff they were showing from that, it was pretty amazing, pretty amazing. And, you know, if you think 30 years in the life of a planet, that's like nothing, you know.
Mm-mm.
That's
right.
Like,
you
what,
know,
that's like 3 days or something. I don't know, probably 3 minutes, depending on how you want to look at it. You know, whatever. It's just minimal.
Well, you know,
yeah,
there is a series of volcanoes that run up and down the west coast up here.
Right.
some of the largest peaks here are volcanoes actually that are active. Now, Rainier,
right.
They say up here is due for some sort of blast, or but that's just all. I mean, you know, that's what they always say. I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes you kind of wonder if Iceland's active. Yeah, you know, things are heating up. Things are heating up under the crust there, so it's very interesting. You know,
what we're having for an appetizer? Because I'm kind of hungry up with all this talk here.
Well, what do you think?
Before we go there, it would be good.
Uh huh. Go ahead.
Before we go there, Mount St. Helens erupted on May 18th.
May 18th.
You were close, Jamie.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
A couple months off. That's
very
right.
Close.
Well, springtime. There you go. Springtime.
Well, I looked it up.
Yeah, with the 18th.
You know.
I mean, there you go. Thank you, ma'am.
That's cool.
You're welcome. Yeah. So I'm thinking a blooming onion. So it looks like a volcano. There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
With blue cheese or ranch.
I want a bowl of both. I vote one of each. There you go.
There you go. That'll work.
There we go. Yeah, we'll just share, and that's all good. It's all good. So everybody gets a little portion on that stuff. So.
Boy, I can't wait. That sounds good.
Okay. So our main topic and our main menu for tonight, we were going to be talking about conscious innovation. And we had been listening to a couple different conversations about how our gadgets, all the Bluetooths and our Blackberries and just all the different gadgets that they're coming up with, really seek to get our attention 24/7 with this constant stream of information coming through and making it to where we really have to make some choices about, you know, am I going to be answering my Palm Pilot or my cell phone, or am I going to be in a conversation with the person right in front of me? So we were going to kind of dance around with that and have a conversation of what you guys think about that when it comes to a sense of, you know, am I going to get to the point where I'm going to minimize my different gadgets that I have in lieu of, you know, being able to utilize that, or hopefully we're going to seek a way to have it be where, you know, these things are user-friendly just like anything else. They're not going to manipulate all of our time and have it where they're helping to just, you know, make us better on the planet. What are you guys thinking about that?
Robin, we have a caller. Caller 818.
Oh. Okay. Hi, caller.
From area code 818.
Hi, caller. Hello.
Hello, caller from area code 818. You're on the air. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Caller from 918 area code.
918. Okay. Hi, caller. Okay. I think they're just going to listen in, and that's okay. So what are the rest of you guys thinking about, you know, just a different level of, you know, choosing the way we want to be using all of our gadgets? What do you guys think about that?
Well, they're fun. They're fun. I love my gadgets. I'm a gadget.
Well, and then they're making sure when you're driving and all that good stuff that, you know, we keep them off, to a minimum.
Well, you know,
we're having good driving exercise.
I tried eating and driving tonight. I was doing pretty good. Had hand on the wheel and the sandwich at the same time.
Wow, there you go. Okay.
So I get eating and driving just as bad, huh?
Mm-hmm. Jamie, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, up until recently, I kind of didn't have a cell phone, but they're just very convenient. And I see texting people instantaneous, and that's such a novel thing. And I don't really mind not talking to some people, but I can talk to them through a text. It's really interesting. I used to like taking photos with my little cell phone, and then I'd send it through the air to my computer, and I'd print it out, and I'd have a little piece of art. So, you know, I use it for my little things. I think it's such a who knows what you know the next 10 years will be like. Even I hope they don't think about implanting have some sort of implant there where you don't even have to worry about having some sort of external, a phone or a Bluetooth or who knows. Who knows what the future brings? Who knows?
Oh,
as long as we don't rely too much on it and get too insulated, people talking to each other and not talking to each other. You know what I mean? You
mm-hmm.
can communicate,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times it's better to talk face-to-face. I mean.
Well, see, that's part of the issue. It's like even when you're sitting with someone, you know, your cell phone goes off in your pocket. You know, are you going to make the choice of, oh, geez, let me take this call? Or is it a matter of, you know, I'm with this person and, you know, I'm going to choose to be present with this person instead of having the, you know, the supposed phone call pulling me away from being connected?
Right. And the question is
where are you connected?
Yeah, well, that just comes down to a matter of respect for the individual that you're with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. That's correct.
You know, and I think part of it, too, is like we're all kind of coming from a little bit older perspective because I know with watching younger people interacting with each other, they've got their headset on and they're listening to something on their iPod. They've got their cell phone going off and they're texting people. Meanwhile, they're right there in front of somebody, so they've really got like maybe three or four things going on simultaneously.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. with my son, I tell him how rude that is. And I have made from a very early age that very present to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one thing when we, you know, we've evolved from a society where we would send thank you notes. And, you know, I look at the generation before me and before that generation, and they look at the various cards and correspondences. They keep them, and they mean something. And as they get older, they will read them and reread them, and it gives them a sense of heart. Because they see that people have cared enough about them to sit down to take the time and to write something. Moving into an age of emails and of electronic data that is either open to the public, that everybody can see and is not private, or getting something that can accidentally get deleted, and it doesn't have the persona of personality through handwriting and or verbalism. You know, the languaging that people may use because they're shortening all of their words into text places, and it just
mm-hmm.
makes it very
mm-hmm.
personal. And
mm-hmm.
so it's about distancing ourselves. They talk about creating more connection, yet it's not a solid connection. And while technology is great, the idea of how we're communicating with each other is losing things in the translation. So telling my son about at least paying attention to people. You know, he's not writing thank you notes. He'll call and say thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even that, just what you were kind of hinting to is a sense of connection with somebody else. It's like if you've got a younger generation that they're looking at connections with a certain way and they're just not finding it, or they don't even know how to define it the same way that we have. You know what I mean? It's different.
It is a different kind of connection. And what they see as being okay is not okay by other generations. And we
just have
to come to a place where each generation is considerate of the next, and they find a middle ground.
Mm-hmm. Kathy, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking the same thing about that each generation, while this is the way that generation is going to be, and they're going to be living with each other, and times when we may or may not be here, it still is, you have to find that common ground.
Mm-hmm. See, we had a report this morning on the news about there had been a Twitter incident where somebody had talked about being, you know, some kind of really great party or something like that was happening downtown, and I don't remember what city it was, but they almost had a mob situation because there was like two or three people who Twittered, and all of a sudden, I mean, within a half an hour, all these kids were just downtown, and it was pretty much, you know, almost a riot situation.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
Just on Twitter.
Let me tweet this.
Yeah. Yeah, tweet that, girl, you know. So that shows the power of a Twitter. I mean, you know, and we've been in a couple of different marketing situations where we've talked about that before in the past, where you only need three or four people to Twitter, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody in the world knows about you. So just like Gloria was saying, you know, it's very public, it's very out there, and it's, you know, it kind of goes back to the humorous statement that, well, it must be true because it's on the Internet. You know, we're going to get caught up in that kind of thing again, just, like, you know, what's really true, and so there needs to be a sense of my own sense of, like, well, come on, is this really true or not kind of a thing, instead of just blindly walking in someplace because somebody said something. So, you know, we've got that level of integrity that that really needs to be challenged on that. So kind of with that, I wanted to jump into, along with the technology, since we're talking about innovation, a really great website if for our audience to check out, and I wanted to see how you guys had felt about it, was TED.com. TED's an annual conference that they put together where they get together and they have pretty just all kinds of innovative people that come together through a conference that actually happens up in the Monterey, California area every year in the springtime. And it's just a wonderful place to go on the web to be able to look at just what's really happening just on a global level. I was actually, I went there a couple of days ago, and I really liked what they were saying about it's TED Global nowadays instead of TED.com. And it's just exploring the shocking undercurrent of good news just below the surface of today's troubling headlines. And I just love that. I just love
it. Ooh, I like that. Woo-hoo.
Yeah, wasn't that wonderful about just showing that? And I'd actually listened to one of the guys that his name is Chris. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Chris Anderson. He's been one of the coordinators in the past putting this thing together. And Ted, Chris has actually put together a science magazine and things like that. You know, he was a multimillionaire. And really just this just resonated with him so much, bringing all the best of the world together, the people who are thinking out of the box and making it to where it's about being connected and understanding a little bit that surrounds one aspect of something you're interested in and allowing yourself to expand in a lot of different, you know, imagine just like a spider from one little idea and putting it out in a lot of different ways. He talks about happiness and, you know, you're taking it from the body, you're taking it from, you know, environmentally, you're taking it on neuroglistically, all just different kinds of ways of looking at happiness and kind of redefining that for ourselves and coming from a level of being diverse and coming from the truth and curiosity of something to see, you know, what's happiness really about and allowing it to go in a lot of different directions and keeping it positive and, forward thinking. So I wanted to
ask
if you guys were thinking about that, if any of you guys had checked out the site and your thoughts about it.
That was very well said, by the way.
Oh,
yes, it was.
I had looked at the site, and I wasn't, with the stuff that they had up there, you know, I thought that it was supposed to be about innovation, and it was, I didn't find it to be so much about innovation as it was more about people speaking and presenting an argument for something or an awareness that they had. And it was almost like reading blog posts through video, like a YouTube presentation. And I wasn't all that impressed with it.
Okay, okay. What did you think, Jamie?
So I got a late start on that one. I did check it out. I didn't get a chance to go too in-depth. It looked really good. I mean, like I said, there's so much to look at, and I'm going to have to take more time to look at it now.
Yeah, there's actually at least 9 years of the different conferences that they have on there, and they've got a total different level of genres depending on what you're looking at, from performers to people who are lecturing on science aspects of what's happening with their inventions to even political views and people just kind of giving their aspects of different things. So, Kathy, what did you think?
I found it very interesting and rather than the actual inventions and gadgets, I just liked seeing what was going on in the world, because this is all about what's going on in the world and the innovative people that they're working with. It was fascinating.
Yeah.
I must have picked up the wrong page, because I saw things about chefs being in love with fish and some doctor traveling the Himalayas.
Well, that was just one little taste of what TED could be about, you know. But is there?
I'll go back and give it another look. But I was like, okay, this is just not working for me.
Yeah. Is that one thing that over and over again when I was looking through some of these different aspects of what they really just try to get, like I said, people who are thinking out of the box, was about a passionate synergy. There's a passionate synergy about, you know, all the different things that people are talking about with just through a fun-loving way of being able to explore something a little bit, you know, off the beaten path. So, yeah, just very, very cool. And one thing they also really, they don't have any kind of corporate sponsorships with this, so basically people can come in there and nobody's got any kind of certain slant on the way that they're going to be presenting the information. There's no platforms, and it's purely just in the pursuit of being the things that people are interested in and showing the connectedness of different aspects of things coming back together. Or like they're saying, just the good news that's under the surface.
Right.
Well, you know, not all the news has to be bad, that's for sure.
Well, that's one reason why we have the Transformation Cafe.
you know?
Right.
Like, look at some aspects of stuff and be able to either see it in a lighter way or know that, you know, there's something good with this, and we can see the blessing and the positive aspects of it, when the press definitely won't go there. You know how that goes.
Well, just trying to be positive, that helps, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you guys are enjoying that blooming onion, right? Make sure that you get a little bit of that blue cheese. That's good with the blooming onion.
I prefer ranch.
We're thinking about what we might want to have for dessert. So, you know, what's your dessert tonight, Kath?
You know, apple crisp. Now, strawberries, shortcake. Those strawberries are just luscious these days. And I see chocolate-covered strawberries on the menu. Woohoo!
Strawberries. That's making Jamie happy.
You like strawberries.
I sent you guys recipes for a chocolate volcano. I think we should indulge in a chocolate volcano.
Oh,
hey, we can
split that, can't we?
There you go. Yeah, we totally can do that. Well, you know, we just put it all out there, and we kind of have a little potluck for dessert. That sounds good.
That would tie in with our other
yeah.
Little thing.
We're honoring the earth with recognition there. That's right. All the fruits of the blossoms that have come.
What do they call that? Baked Alaska?
Right.
Not Cherry's Jubilee then.
Oh, Cherry's. Maybe we have that next week. That would be good. We have to put in a special order for that. I think they also have a chocolate souffle, but we definitely would have to order that at the beginning of our meal and let them know we wanted to go ahead and get that on there. So that's good. So you guys want to work on some leftovers? Let's we get some leftovers out and take a look at that. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Okay. Last week we were talking about stress, and Al Diaz came on and he was sharing about how he'd gone over to Hawaii to the Big Island and was talking about how stressful that was. And so that worked out really well. And then all of us were kind of sharing about different levels of stress. So what do you guys think? Is there any kind of insights you guys had from that conversation coming from a week of that?
Well, you're still stressed out. I mean, somehow you just got to deal with it.
You learn nothing.
It's Tuesday, and tomorrow's Wednesday, and then there's Thursday, and then Friday, and then the weekend.
There you go.
And Kathy, so that's one way of looking at it, but then,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Kathy was sharing about, you know, Al had asked her, you know, how do you deal with stuff? And she said sugar. How's that sugar working for you? Is it still the you know, the cure-all for you, or are we going someplace else with that now, Kath?
No, actually, this week I'm thinking all is as it should be. Everything will work out great.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, spring has definitely sprung.
Definitely sprung. Everything will work out fine. Oh, in fact, I made a jingle for that tonight on the way home.
Oh, okay. Did you remember it? You want to share?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Everything will work out fine. It's okay. It's all right. Everything will work out fine. And then I got home.
There you go. And it was. She was safe and life was good. So there you go. All right. That's like the precursor for dessert. So that's all good. So okay. So the chocolate strawberries are here. So we can partake of those. So you guys like dig into that. That looks really good. So
we have a visitor in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Hi, caller.
And it's Chaplain Steve One. Hi, Chaplain Steve One. And he says blessings, everyone.
Some blessings to you. How nice. That was very kind to share. Yeah, very nice. We'll make sure that we'll send a strawberry his way. That's very sweet.
If there's any left.
Yeah. Oh well. Come on now. We got to share with our with our people. You know that's
right. Oh, we have.
He can have mine. Yeah. Oh, okay. Gloria's going to give you hers. Wow. Thank you, Gloria. She's just a generous girl. She's just like that. She likes to share. That's good. So that's really cool. Anything from you, Gloria, on you know, since we kind of brought up the discussion about stress, anything come up with that for you?
Well, I'm finding it interesting that I really am looking for it, and I'm not finding it.
Isn't that great?
Almost,
woohoo.
Well, it's a little concerning.
Is it? Absence
well,
of
if you don't. If you're experiencing a sense of bliss, and while it's in a good place to be there, when you don't have it and it's a new experience, I mean, it's not new, but it's not a common experience, and it just shows up for no reason that you can think of other than having a stronger connection with Source. That's the only thing I can put it down to. And it's just, I don't know if I'd use the word disconcerting, but it kind of makes you wary. It's like, okay, why is this going on? And it's not a negative wariness. It's just an awareness. So it's just new and different and getting adjusted. So I don't know if I say it's good or bad. It's just like that joke. Did you ever hear that joke about the man who lost a horse? A farmer.
Go ahead.
And the horse was left. The gate was broken down and the horse got lost, and a neighboring farmer came over and he said, "Wow, you know, that's just bad luck. That's just tough luck." And the guy said, "Well, you never know." And then the horse shows up, he comes back, and he's got this whole herd of horses that were wild, and they're in the corral now. And so the farmer is building the fence to keep them all in, and the neighbor comes over and he goes, "Wow, that was really great luck." And he goes, "Well, you never know. You don't know." And then the army comes through, and it's about the time of the Civil War, and so the army comes through and they requisition all of the horses. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed a step. His son was on one of the horses breaking the horses, and he fell off and broke his leg. And the neighboring farmer came over and said, "Wow, that was really bad luck." And the farmer says, "Well, I don't know. You never can tell." Then the army comes through and requisitions all of the horses and all of the men, but because his son had broken his leg, he couldn't go. So you never know what's good or what's not.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, if it's too good to be true, then it isn't, generally.
It's too good to be true. That's right.
I think I'm going to revamp that phrase. It's not so much that
it's good to be dessert, it's good to be dessert.
But it is, do I really recognize it as something good? And do I deserve to own it?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's kind of like our main conversation tonight with the constant, you know, conscious innovation. You know, with change is, you know, the only thing that's constant is change. So we could just love that and know that it's there to serve us and have us, you know, being that much bigger and better for ourselves. That's all good.
Yeah, it's like the winter ocean. You just need to wade in.
Oh, there you
Robin,
go.
How about you and stress this week?
How about me and stress? You know, I was just a lot more mindful of it, and traffic was better. I noticed that I was just being in a better place where I could just be in a place of just like, okay, someone's going to cut me off. They cut me off, and, you know, last week was not so good. I was just like wanting to, you know, it's the fist out the window going, "Ah!" So, you know, stuff like that too. Plus I had to take down a fence this weekend, you know, so I had this, like, you know, I was basically doing some demolition, and that's always great. You know, that's talk about a great stressor. You know, de-stressor, you can just like tear something apart. That's always kind of fun. You do the demolition, you're like, "Wah!" Get it all out there. So I always tell friends of mine that are frustrated, they don't really know what to do. I say, "Oh, just go to the batting cages and whack a few balls." That's always a good thing to do.
That's constructive deconstruction, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you
go. It's that physical activity.
I found that
it really helps to release stress. There you go.
I found that if you take a package of, like, four rolls of toilet paper that are packaged in plastic, and if you just take them and slam them down on the floor just repeatedly, that lets go of a lot of stress, too.
There you go. And, you know, you can still use it. So it's, you know, it's not like, yeah.
You're not breaking anything.
You're still being able to use it. You just got to get some unusually shaped toilet paper. But that's okay. Yeah, that's all right. See, there's lots of ways to make it healthy. Although I've heard a lot of psychologists say that, you know, anger begets anger. So they say it's not necessarily a helpful thing to be, you know, focusing on thinking that, they, you know, the screaming in the pillow, and they said that was good therapy. They're like, not so much. They're finding that that's just not so true. You know, it had its bad, it had its day, but most psychologists,
you know, didn't
do that.
Like in Japan, I thought I read about they'd have these places you go in, and if you had like a room or so, you'd break it all up, you'd destroy it. And that's what
really?
He did. It was like a restaurant or any other place you're going.
Like in a hotel?
It'd be some general guy and you just tear up this china. I mean, it's all fake stuff and cheap, and they just break it, and then that's what you did.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh my gosh, I never heard of that. Wow.
They'll probably have them, I bet. Who knows?
I bet they do. Yeah.
What's that about? I mean, you just get your cathartic release of some sort. Who knows?
Well, they developed karaoke, so you know.
Okay.
Well, think about it. You go from Irish pub singing to karaoke.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Well, you're not going to go into an Irish pub and be busting it out, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah.
Of course, you haven't had too much to drink and you're part of the community and you just go let loose.
They go take it on there. Of course, there's that another level with the mindfulness of everything you respect, everything that you have around you, so you have that much more respect to you. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm thoughtful
that's
of everything that I have and treat it well. Yeah, I treat things well around me and I'm treated well.
Yeah, that feels good, doesn't it,
Paul?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, here comes our dessert.
Oh, boy.
Oh, cool. Okay, there we go.
Hey, we need more than one fork for that.
Well, everybody needs their own fork, and I think we need to get a side of whipped cream. That sounds good.
I don't know. I'm just with the finger thing.
Huh?
Is that Ready Whip or Cool Whip?
No, that's the real stuff. Are you kidding? Come on, we can just
the kind
tell.
Of spray out of the can.
I don't know. Here, let me flip some into your mouth. I have a spoon. I'll flip it.
There you go.
There we go. Oh my! Don't want to turn this into a food fight. Come on, guys. Okay, there we go.
Food fight? No. It's a decoration party.
Oh, decoration party. Okay. Well, that just kind of shows everything is by a perspective. So there you go.
That's what I was going to say. It's all in how you look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oops, I got your nose. Ha, ha, ha.
And an awkward silence.
What were some of the key topics that you wanted to discuss over dessert? And our Wicked Egg, they're actually going to aperitif to go with that.
Yeah, and actually we're going to have a really great after dinner inspirational mint. I've got that kind of plan coming up. I wanted to go back real quick, and we were looking at all the different things about, you know, being mindful about our technology and working with our gadgets and things like that. They had been, that article that I'd read, it was real interesting and had a few things for kind of points of their guideposts and being able to relate to your gadgets. So I'm going to entertain you guys, and I can talk about that if you like. How's that sound?
Okay.
Get a few little pointers for that. One was that just really kind of asking yourself, how present am I, you know, with the situation that I'm in right now? Am I too engaged in, like, checking my emails, or am I really being present with myself and seeing what I have going on with everything? So that was one thing that they were talking about, just the sense of mindfulness and noticing where my attention is. You know, am I allowing it to myself to get totally absorbed in something or feel aware of my surroundings and almost like witnessing what's happening for myself instead of getting caught up and just with the, you know, because to me it's almost like the pop-ups and everything on the computers with the amount of advertising. You know, commercials just try to suck you in. One of those things where, you know, where's my attention? Mm-hmm.
Some of those are pretty devious, too.
They're very devious.
Yeah, they suck you right in there somehow.
In. Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, it's 45 minutes later.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing with the gadgets, it's all about, oh, gee, somebody's connecting with me. I feel important because someone's bothering to, you know, send me a message. It must be important, or why would they bother, right? Because they're sending me something.
Of course.
It must be important. Yeah, when that happened, 9 times out of 10, it's just somebody just seeking to connect on whatever level that's not necessarily going to satisfy them on a sense of being able to feel like they're actually making an impact and really connecting to that person. So another thing they were talking about was really connecting to your body and recognizing, am I aware of my surroundings, so I feel my, you know, my energy within myself is being like my life force. They talked about being connected to myself and know that I'm giving out and receiving simultaneously. So it's just kind of a sense of, because lots of times we were kind of getting back to our conversation last week about feeling overwhelmed with just the amount of informational overload. You know, it's kind of going back to the younger generation where they've got the iPod and they're texting and they're talking to somebody, but this constant overload of four or five different things coming into them at the same time.
You know, a lot
of times, it's an overload for me.
It's it's almost like multitasking, and a lot of times a lot of those things you try to do, maybe they're done, but they're not quite as well if they were individually attended to, you know.
They were saying, too, that they had done a study from Stanford about, you know, multitasking, and what they're finding is that there's just a certain level of creativity that we're good at, and you don't really get better at multitasking. It's actually your productivity goes down after a certain level, and your account gets not as productive.
I guess it would depend on what kind of multitasking you're doing or whatever subject it is.
Right.
As long as you're not driving a rocket ship and trying to figure them out, I don't know, who knows.
Yeah.
Even driving a car, look at driving a car and try to talk on a phone.
Yeah. And you're eating and, you know.
I don't know, I'm pretty good at doing the makeup and the phone and the driving with my knee. Yeah, there you have it.
You can drive with your stomach sometimes. I can.
Wow.
Knees or stomach or elbows are good, too.
Wow, my goodness. I don't know if I want to drive any of you guys, okay?
What gets me is there's no
You know,
law.
Actually,
get
Robert
back.
And I got an accident, didn't we?
Yeah, we did get in an accident, so there you go. That speaks world right there, okay?
And what were you doing when you got in that accident?
Go
ahead.
We were on a snowy road, and he hit a patch of black ice.
We were coming into Flagstaff, Arizona, and we spun out. I think somebody was passing us, and we slid through a interstate sign, I believe, but we didn't roll over or anything, thank goodness.
Yeah. We both got out, and it was kind of funny because my family had been following us because we were caravanning, and my dad got me into that car so quick it was like, you know, wow, okay, there we go.
that was a long ago, far, far, far away galaxy.
Yes, that was a long time ago. It was like 19 murmur map. There we go.
But enough of that. Yes. Okay.
But anyway, so just the whole thing with the driving. And I'm very glad that we finally have all the new laws for texting and talking and all that kind of stuff. Although I constantly see people on the phone, you know.
I see them all the time.
Yeah.
San Diego seems to be really bad for that. I go up to Orange County and people are much more aware of it. I think it has to do with the way that the roads and the highways are constructed. And down here it's more spread out so you can see further away.
Right.
Well, and I have a friend of mine who's a trucker, and he says with the trucking laws, it's $2,500 if a cop finds you while you're driving your truck.
Wow.
So there's just no way any of them are going to get caught, believe me.
Right.
Just not going to do it. And he was really upset when I talked to him about it the other day. He just said that that's just wrong. It should be that much for everybody, not just the truckers.
So that's more motivation not to do it, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like how many people are going to risk, you know, $2,500? There's just nobody going to do it.
Well, you know, I had an opportunity to sit in traffic court. And to listen to all of the cases that were coming through. And some of these people were in the parking lot at the courthouse and just dealing with their seatbelts. And they were, I guess, in the parking lot, and they had taken their seatbelt off as they were looking for a parking space. And the judge's reply is, well, you were in motion, yes?
Thank you.
And it's really interesting because when you look at the interpretation of the law and how people are just, well, maybe I can do this because I'm almost there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It comes to interpretation and people paying attention to the details.
Mm-hmm.
when it comes to cell phone and technology. They're now looking at making, I think I saw something recently that said don't text and drive. Oh, I had someone forward to me a YouTube video, which I forwarded to a friend of mine, that shows the consequences of texting and driving, and it's not a pretty video.
Yeah, they say it's twice as bad as drinking.
Oh, it was bad. It showed dead people, and it was awful.
Well, going back to the driver's training films when I was in school, you know, they were pretty brutal. I don't think they do that anymore.
Well, this one was a European one, so they went to town on it, and it was good. It was a really good one that has a lot of impact. I used to work in hospitals, and I told my son that I wanted him to volunteer in a hospital emergency room prior to getting his driver's license.
Good idea.
That's a good word.
Yeah, it's a very good. Yeah, that's very good. Well, you know, and it just kind of goes back to the fact that they're really not, we're not doing driver's ed anymore in school. You know, you have to think about that, too. Everybody's having to go pretty much off campus to get their training and all that stuff, too. So
right.
That's
on a state-by-state basis, though, because in Nevada, where he went to school, they still had it in the school system.
Okay, because like California, they just don't have that anymore. Yeah.
Right. Illinois, where I had mine, they had it in the school system, and I was just shocked when I found out they didn't have it here.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of like a safety first.
I was even more shocked when I heard about a 19-year-old who still didn't have his driver's license and wasn't concerned to get one.
Well, that just seems to be the norm. I mean, I don't know how many kids I could count at least on both my hands of kids that just don't want to drive. You know?
Well, that's just concerning.
Mm-hmm. It is concerning.
That's another topic, though, for another time.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
We'll have to plan that one.
That's a good one.
So,
how to talk your children into driving.
Yeah.
We have about 9 minutes left. So,
yeah.
Did
how
you
long?
Want to talk about your dinner mint?
Oh, my dinner mint. Okay, you ready for my quote? We can talk about it.
Yes, ready.
Okay. This is our dinner mint. It says, our destiny changes with our thoughts. We should become what we wish to become, do what we wish to do, when our habitual thoughts correspond to our destiny.
Wow.
That's a big mint, huh?
Yeah, that's a big bio on that one.
Was it Gibran or
Sarah? One more time, please.
One more time? Okay.
Yes, one more time. I'd like to hear that again.
You want to just take it in? Okay. Our destiny changes with our thoughts. We shall become what we wish to become, do what we wish to do, when our habitual thoughts correspond to our destiny.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah,
now, was it Gibran or Thoreau that had said, we are who we think to be, or is something along that line?
I think it was Thoreau.
Okay.
Do I have to put it in the form of a question? Okay. Who is Thoreau?
Who was Thoreau? Thank you.
We're going to have to research that one now.
So there you go. Yeah. But you know, just like, you know, it's like attracts like, and you are what you think you are. You know, I always love the quote, too, is like, I'm that which I am seeking.
Yes.
Yeah. And for the longest time, I'm like, what the heck does that mean? I just don't know.
It's a quotable quote.
My favorite is no matter where you go, you're always there to meet yourself.
Or there you are.
There you are. And I was wondering, like, I've gone out to find myself. If I get here before I come back, you know, make sure that I stay.
I've gone to find myself. If you see me first, let me know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Please read this message.
Yes, exactly. It's like, wham. Like, oh, my God. Imagine you come walking and you go, you were just here. Where did you go? What are you talking about?
It's a time loop.
I was here. I was trying to hold you and you didn't stay. And I'm like, oh, dang it. There you go.
You know,
so now I'm hearing it's a time loop, and then I started hearing the song from Let's Do the Time Walk Again.
I'm around and around.
People
okay,
do
how
have
how
their doppelgangers,
the
though, you know.
Picture show. There we go.
I could go with a doppelganger. As long as they were nice.
People, believe it or not, there are cases where people think they've seen their doppelganger, or people have seen people they know that they think they know, but they're not. So what's up with that?
There's
twins, separated twins all over the world.
Yeah, my mom had somebody.
I don't know. I
kind of
have this.
Yeah, I have this whole philosophy that there's just a certain amount of people in the world that we all kind of look like one another. You know what I mean? There's like maybe, you know, like, I don't know, 100 different styles of people. That's it.
Well, my dad was
always
mistaken for somebody else, and he would be in some foreign town somewhere, and there you go. Somebody thinks he's his uncle or cousin, you know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Did he get lots of free dinners out of that?
Well, you know, one time he did, and it was interesting. That was in Eureka, California.
Oh, wow. It was Eureka, so that says a lot right there, okay.
I know. Jamie, my son is up there right now.
Eureka. Oh, that's a strange connection.
Yeah.
Very beautiful there.
He might look for, pardon?
It's very beautiful there.
It rains
every day.
Here's the Thoreau quote. It is what a man thinks of himself that really determines his fate.
That's very true.
That's true.
Very true, yeah.
Very good.
You know.
Yep. Okay.
And what others think of me is none of my business.
I like that one.
Yeah.
well,
we
well,
had a little left on our show, guys, so I wanted to talk about maybe what we're going to talk about next week. How about that?
Okay.
Sounds good.
This quote goes along with what you're going to say. Sharing is optional.
Oh, well, there you go. And I'm taking the option. How about that? That's good, too.
There you go.
Taking the option. We were talking, actually, Gloria and I were talking about how it always seems in the world that we're always looking for someone else to give us permission. So we're going to talk about that next week, about, you know, the power of permission and how we can gift ourselves.
And where it came mm-hmm. from and where it should come from.
Right.
You have
exactly.
my permission to talk about that.
Oh, there we go. We have permission from Miss Kathy, so it's a done deal. So that's all good.
I don't need your stinking permission.
Oh, okay. And that's one of the positions we'll talk about is people just kind of like, you know, they get defensive and just like, I don't need it, and, you know, and use this like reverse
there
psychology
is,
on them.
There
and if you need permission, put this
a,
book down.
Yeah. So I ask
that.
You all to be mindful with your gadgets and, you know, be making those mindful choices of connecting with the person in front of you. And it's delightful to have you all here so I can look at you and just enjoy these desserts and our main menu and appetizers and everything that we do. And just grateful that play the glad game and glad that you're all here and you're willing to come and play the glad game. So that's just all wonderful.
I'm so glad.
Well,
yeah,
thank you very much for having me. I'm completely full now.
Oh, there you
Thank
go.
You.
He's completely full.
Well, I have to say that with being glad, I think we've totally wrapped up this event.
Most excellent.
Okay,
I'll see you next week.
So all you guys stay off your gadgets on the way home and be safe, okay?
Okay, good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
See you next week.
We'll talk to you.
Yeah, dress carefully.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.